Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. Now, have you ever heard your CFO or treasurer use the phrase, "My gut instinct is this," when talking about an invoice being paid or getting paid or even about risk management? In most, if not all cases, the answer is going to be no, because they rely on data and numbers to dictate what to do or how to respond to different needs within the organization. And with this digitization evolution that we're seeing within the industry that continues to pick up speed for businesses, it is important to take a look at what the needs of a modern treasury office looks like. And so to do that, I'm joined by Jonathan Paquette, who is the VP of Solutions at TIS, and Steve Murphy, who is the Director of the Commercial and Enterprise Payments Advisory Service at Mercator Advisor Group, as they unpack some of the key findings from a recent TIS survey and white paper. So there's certainly a lot of data and insights to unpack on today's episode. So without any further delays, let's start the show. So, John and Steve, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on today's episode, where we're going to be doing a deep dive into treasury and payment technology trends in 2022, and specifically around a survey that your organization, John, recently conducted. But first, Steve, the first question I want to propose to you is maybe perhaps we could kind of unpack from your perspective at Mercator Advisory Group, maybe a little bit of a market overview, maybe some of the trends that you're seeing within your research as it relates to treasury payment technology trends.
Absolutely. I'll keep it relatively brief since there's a lot to talk about with the TIS survey. So treasury management really has, I'd say, traditionally been a specialized and kind of lightly resourced area of the chief financial office within corporate structures. And so the technology that kind of serves treasury has been evolving, specifically on the workstation side. And then it accelerated a bit after the global financial crisis when there was somewhat of a shift occurring regarding the strategic role of treasury in kind of the planning and execution of corporate financial imperatives. So that evolution has continued, and let's say it's received a boost from the pandemic, and those tailwinds are as a recognition of the digitized financial processes as sort of a catalyst for improving financial operations. And that became, you know, pretty clear for most organizations, but especially those suffering from liquidity issues. So if you compare the Great Recession of 2008-2009 to kind of the self-generated one that we're kind of finishing up, let's hope. The early one was about credit, and this latest one is more about liquidity and the technology that can improve performance. In terms of kind of the size of the market globally, really hard to put a finger on it because there's so many different components of treasury management. You can incorporate all sorts of different systems in there. So I'd probably stay away from trying to whittle that down to a specific amount. But let's say it's pretty big. So I'll leave it there.
Yeah, excellent, Steve. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. Now, John, I want to get you involved here because I certainly do agree with Steve's point that, you know, the survey that your organization recently conducted is certainly very detailed. And I'd like to let our audience know that they're going to be able to get access to this white paper. If they're following along on paymentsjournal.com, we're going to have a form to fill out to get access to that white paper. But first, we want to make sure that you listen to the rest of this episode here because there's going to be a lot that we're going to be unpacking. So, John, maybe perhaps you could unpack some of the key insights that were found in this survey and really kind of what you're seeing from those high level trends.
Yeah, sure, I can do that. I mean, maybe just dovetailing into a point that Steve made about the increasing strategic role within Treasury, I think that's one trend that we definitely saw throughout the survey results. So, you know, we asked the responders here just, you know, a few questions about how they expected their roles within their departments to change over the course of the next year. And about 80% indicated they expect an increase in responsibilities. The survey results were across multiple different departments. So Treasury, FP&A, Accounting, AP all responded, but actually it was Treasury who responded the most favorably to having increased responsibilities next year. So definitely a trend that we saw throughout the survey. Also, you know, with that increase in responsibility, it seems that most organizations are kind kind of trying to prepare their employees for that. So about 50% of the responders indicated that they're expecting professional development opportunities to increase within their department, within their organization. And about 75% said they're planning to upgrade technology pertaining to their department to support those increased responsibilities, which were really favorable trends, I thought, right? So people are having, have increasing responsibilities, but the organization's providing the right level of support in terms of professional development and technology. So I think those are two pretty key trends. You know, moving into some of the more technology trends, I think it was interesting. We saw, you know, in terms of technology goals for different levels of organizations, sort of a stark difference between small and mid-sized organizations and enterprise level organizations. So for small companies, we saw a big focus on the desired impact of their technology investments, really being around process automation within Treasury, also cash forecasting, and in general, just sort of upgrading technology within their departments to be more efficient. You know, for example, we asked about the desired impact of the tech investment specifically, and about 30% of the small and mid-sized businesses indicated that process automation was their key goal. Likewise, it seems that most of the respondents were really bullish about the role of AI and cash flow forecasting moving forward and how that's going to kind of improve their experience from that perspective. If you flip that and you look at the enterprise organizations, you know, the main trend was that most enterprise companies have a big focus on data. You know, about 30% indicated that their desired impact of their technology investment was to gain better insight into that data. Even there was about 25% of the respondents that indicated that they're starting initiatives around, you know, having a data lake internally, right? So you really have this data first mindset that's at organizations that might be a little bit further along in the technology curve that I thought was, you know, really interesting too. And then maybe more of a broad, you know, theme that we saw throughout the survey too was just the comfort level around emerging technologies and the openness for adoption. So, you know, within the responder group, we saw about 75% of the responders planning to use bank APIs in 2022 for either reporting or payments or both, which I thought was, you know, a very high percentage. We also saw about 50% indicating that they wanted to take advantage of real-time payments, which I also thought was, you know, on the higher side too. And even, you know, 15% of the responders indicated some interest in cryptocurrencies or at least exploring some opportunities to work them into their data, their overall organization strategy.
So, John, you actually answered one of my follow-on questions, at least partially. You talked about the kind of the differences between the business sizes. Was there any other sort of differences between vertical segments? Because I know there was some breakout of that in the survey as well.
Yeah, there was. I mean, more so across the sizes of the organizations, I think, and than the particular industries that responded. But, you know, there were definitely some really apparent trends. One was the, you know, like I mentioned before, the enterprise organizations being so focused on data. It seems like everybody's trying to get better insights into data and focusing on collecting the data that's going to add the most value to their organization. The other kind of trend that we noticed between small, mid-sized, and enterprise organizations is that enterprise seems to have a bigger focus on fraud detection, definitely a lot more interested in things like pattern recognition and machine learning as part of their overall payment screening process than the small and mid-sized organizations. And, you know, we kind of attribute it to, you know, they're probably facing a lot more threats on a day-to-day basis just based on the size of their processes and also the type of threats that are going to the market these days. You know, more and more they're attacking the AP departments in the form of fake invoice attacks, fake supplier instruction change attacks, right? These sort of attacks that are buried within a very high volume process. So I have to imagine that's becoming a very difficult thing for enterprise organizations to manage. So might be kind of contributing to that trend.
Yeah, I certainly have to agree with you there, John. One of the things that I find really interesting, particularly with surveys themselves, is not necessarily the answers that you expect, kind of really the areas where you might ask a question and then it kind of bucks the conventional thought or kind of bucks what the payments ecosystem may think that, hey, the industry is kind of going in this way. Did you happen to kind of find any of those surprises within this particular survey?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there were a few that kind of stood out as outliers in the results. So, you know, I mentioned that 75% of organizations plan to upgrade their technology in some way. If you break that down by department, it was about 81% for Treasury, so they were above the curve a little bit. AP was right around 75%, so, you know, the mid-range point, which I thought was encouraging. A lot of the times the AP department doesn't doesn't get that kind of attention to make a technology upgrade. But then the accounts receivable department was at 47%. So just way below the, you know, the mid-range percentage there. So that was one I just, you know, tried to make some sense out of in my mind. And I know a lot of investments already probably taken place in that space. A lot of organizations have already put a pretty big effort into automating receivables processes, cash applications processes. So it could be maybe organizations are further ahead on that trend than in other departments, but I definitely found that as a strange trend. Even too, I think the huge interest in real-time payments, you know, 50% of organizations indicating they plan to adopt it in 2022 was surprising to me. I'm a payments guy and, you know, I love payment technology and absolutely when people are looking to adopt more modern, you know, forms of payment, but I didn't think the use cases were necessarily there to drive that level of adoption and really disrupt the institutions of the traditional payment rail, so to speak. So we're hearing a lot about industry-specific examples for taking advantage of real-time payments for, you know, say the logistics industry where the settlement timeline of a payment is very, very important, right? It kind of sets off a sequence of additional activities that ultimately results in a shipment getting there on time, right? So we can see real use cases there, or even within the professional services market, or, you know, anybody who taps into the so-called gig economy and providing immediate access to funds through paying in real-time payments. But, you know, these are kind of the real use cases that we're seeing organizations look to put in place in the first 6 months of the year. And I wouldn't think it would make up 50% of the respondents here. So I thought that was interesting, but a positive trend, I guess, right? And so, and then the last one here, maybe, you know, it kind of aligns with the fraud prevention. So we asked, you know, one of the questions about emerging technologies that we asked if companies were looking to take advantage of was account validation services. So these are the services we can go out and you can validate through a third party that the account that you're paying is a real account, right? The information is correct, but you can also pull in statistics in terms of, you know, when was that account open to kind of flag something as suspicious. You know, for example, an account was only open 7 days ago. That might look a little funny on your side. And then you can also validate the ultimate beneficial owner of that account. Does it match up with the beneficiary of the account that you have on your payment there? And, you know, this was a big topic that we're hearing about a lot in the market. And Swift is even, you know, launching an initiative here to try to make this a more global initiative across their reach of bank networks. But we had only about 5% of the respondents interested in those types of services, which I thought was really low. Definitely didn't align with the, you know, the conversations on having with treasurers on a day-to-day basis. So I think for me, these are at least three of the, you know, the kind of the outliers for the survey results.
Yeah, I share your the outlier comment about receivables because in most of the conversations and stuff that I've been looking at on the receivable side over the last couple of years is that that's gotten a lot more attention than it ever has before. As you know, certainly you know, payables used to really be at the front of the line when automation was being considered, but receivables seems to have stepped up. And then the other thing on real-time payments, yeah, 50% sounds high. I mean, I know that TCH has probably 200 banks connected to the network, and they're reaching maybe 65% of accounts. But you know, maybe the transaction limit moving from 100,000 to a million might have an impact. And I'm guessing that request for pay, the bill pay end of RTP is going to provide a boost as well.
Yeah, no, if I could, I'd like to kind of shift gears just a little bit here because, you know, one of the interesting points that was in the survey there was really around risk mitigation. And that certainly came up as a strong concern. So, John, maybe you could tell us a little bit more of your thoughts on those responses as related to risk mitigation.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I mentioned we had the, you know, the question about the desired impact of technology. Number one in that category was better insights into data, like I mentioned before. But number two was actually risk mitigation and actually just breaking that down a little bit further. The top risk mitigation efforts that organizations were looking to put in place was number one, eliminating manual payments. That was about 30% of organizations, which is, I think, no surprise, right? Everybody realizes that manual payments have the highest risk profile amongst any payments you're initiating in your organization. And right behind that was training, you know, revamping training programs, education within the organization about what a fraudulent payment looks like and, you know, those types of activities too, right? So, which I thought was interesting to see, you know, people really focused more on the controls level elements, right? The kind of the internal type processes. And then after you got past those elements, and particularly, like I mentioned before, at the enterprise level, you had a lot of interest in fraud detection, you know, being able to actually detect abnormalities in payment activity. And, you know, really, I think at that level too, there's a lot of indication that, you know, AI will really play a big role in driving value in those solutions in 2022 and those fraud detection solutions through pattern recognition and machine learning and things like that, too. So I was happy, I think, about the way those results were structured. It seemed like a logical journey with organizations first focusing on internal controls, limiting payments, trading, right? And then looking at, okay, what can I not mitigate through internal controls? Based on that risk profile, maybe it makes sense to implement a fraud detection solution, right, to kind of secure that last mile of risk versus jumping to that as sort of the ultimate solution there. Also, I think it, you know, probably plays into the technology investments, because although eliminating manual payments seems like a at least conceptually simple idea, what the reality behind it means, you know, basically broad adoption straight through processing, right, across your entire organization. So that's bank connectivity, that's file formats, that's global payments, that's ERP connectivity or system connectivity to kind of make that a reality, right? And so, yeah, I think that, you know, maybe that's a pretty strong point that a lot of organizations who are looking to mitigate risk are trying to focus on in 2022.
So, John, was there any, you know, especially when you think about mid and large-sized enterprises that do business on a multinational basis, was there any sense about the risk management concerns around, you know, the local sort of government regulations and related things that might impact, you know, directly or the way that a bank does business with their corporate? Any sense for that in the survey?
Yeah, so we did ask, one of the categories we gave the ability to respond for was, you know, for the desired impact of technology was, do you want to be better positioned to address industry or market specific regulatory challenges? And it actually scored relatively low. You know, for enterprise and mid-market, it was about 5%. For small markets, it was about 13%. So a pretty significant jump there. But yeah, it actually did not stand out as a kind of high priority technology investment item for a lot of companies. I was a bit surprised about that. Now that you bring that up, I would think that, you know, particularly for organizations executing payments globally, that environment's getting more complex by the day, it seems, right? So just being ahead of the curve there is important.
Yeah, that is interesting. And the fact that smaller companies probably are increasing their cross-border sort of purviews, that would sort of make sense that it would be a concern for them because they have less experience with it.
You know, one of the areas that I certainly have been having quite a bit of conversation around is particularly around cash management, and really kind of that being a vital point area of improvement. So, John, I'm curious, you know, did the survey kind of touch anything upon that, and were there any insights that could be taken away from there?
It did, yeah, actually. So, you know, we asked about, you know, what was the most important skill to upgrade in 2022 within your department? And actually, cash management was number one. 41% of organizations indicated that was the most important skill to upgrade. So the way that broke down between organization sizes, it was the most important for small and mid-sized companies, consistent with kind of the earlier survey results I mentioned. And it was second for enterprise level organizations, behind, again, you know, the data analytics skill set that it looks like is a big focus there. So yeah, I thought it was interesting, you know, trying to take it into the context of the other survey results, the interest in APIs for real-time balance reporting, the interest in real-time payments, the emphasis on cash forecasting, AI and machine learning. I think it's, you know, I think a lot of companies are viewing cash management as fundamentally changing and becoming much more real time, right? There's this big focus on real time cash management. It's a big buzzword in the industry. You hear it all the time. So I think maybe that's driving a lot of the thought that you need to upgrade your skills to be able to take advantage of the new way cash is managed. And I think it's a really interesting concept that requires a lot, you know, should garner a lot of attention during the course of 2022, particularly because it seems to be very market driven. It's not the fintechs, it's not the banks telling corporates they have to do this. It's the corporates telling us, you know, that they want to manage things more real time, which for us is a ideal situation, because as a fintech, you're agile, you're always trying to develop in accordance with the market needs. So to have them actually tell you exactly what they want to do is great. So, and I do wonder if just the unpredictability that's been introduced during the course of the pandemic is also accelerating this a bit. You know, to an extent, as receivables slowed down so much for organizations, they had to think so much about how to flex on the payment side, had to think about all these supply chain issues that have come up, right? To one extent or another, most organizations are probably managing things much more real time than they have previously. And so it makes sense that they say, okay, this is the new normal, this is how things are going to be going forward, and probably even recognize the strategic value of doing that as a result. So yeah, I think it was definitely an interesting area of the survey.
Yeah, I mean, when I think about cash management and, you know, sort of the sub or the capability within that category, it seems most of the time when I read about this stuff, it's cash forecasting, where firms want to bulk up their capabilities, and that mostly has to do with visibility and access to data in relatively real time. So I wonder if that's really what's underneath that, all of that.
You know, if we could, I kind of want to take a little bit of a look through the magic eight ball here, the looking glass here, and a little bit of a future kind of view here. Because I know that the survey kind of talked about some of the newer technology that certainly that Treasury is taking a look at here. But maybe you can kind of discuss around some of the results around, you know, like EBAM, crypto, APIs. I know we touched quite a bit upon real-time payments, but maybe we can also integrate some of the findings from AI. AI as well, too, that you had brought up there, John.
Yeah, sure. I mean, they're all topics that we asked about during the course of the survey here. Maybe we could start with EBAM a little bit. So EBAM was interesting. It actually came in dead last amongst emerging technology adoptions for 2022. It even came behind cryptocurrency. So really, you know, kind of the bottom priority for most organizations. And I think it's just this market expectation that, you know, corporates don't believe it's ever going to become a real thing. There's been various iterations of this that have been introduced over time. Nothing's ever gained, you know, sort of full, you know, adoption amongst all the players that would need to adopt it within the industry. So, you know, it's never been something that's really become real. But I think that, you know, APIs, yeah, right now the banks are really focused on reporting and payments, right, for their APIs. But there's certainly a lot of opportunity for APIs to finally solve some of these challenges around EBAM. You know, opening accounts or, you know, doing KYC or changing signatories via electronic methods with the banks. I don't think you'll see it this year. I know, you know, we're chatting with some banks about it, you know, just to kind of get a sense of what this might look like. And I'm sure other players in the market are too. But I think it'll be a more relevant topic, become a more relevant topic during the course of the year. So I wouldn't rule out EBAM permanently. I think some iteration of it will probably show up eventually here. Crypto, I mentioned, you know, was kind of the second lowest adoption, but I think it's almost a win that treasurers are open to it, you know, by nature. I think most treasurers are pretty risk averse people. Crypto probably doesn't make sense in most organizations, you know, investment strategy, cash investment strategy, but it seems like some of the use cases around global payments, you know, crypto as a settlement currency, you know, even as a settlement currency in markets where the local currency is restricted, right, facilitating some form of transfer, crypto's role in potentially accelerating the settlement of foreign exchange transactions, right? These are all kind of use cases that people are open to, it seems. They haven't emerged as sort of concrete things that organizations can take advantage of. But I think it's an interesting topic, just the fact that, you know, corporate treasurers remain so open to it. And it's definitely one I'm keeping a really close eye on during the course of this year. So bank APIs, certainly, you know, you mentioned that one too. So yeah, that was a very hot topic. Like I mentioned, 75% planning to use them in some way during 2022. It'll be, you know, 2021 was kind of the year of the introduction of the API. And, you know, it's kind of 2022 is when it's going to kind of definitely come into focus a lot more, which I think will be interesting. Corporates who want to adopt them are going to have to make a lot of decisions, I think, around functionality versus standardization versus, you know, institutional costs of adopting APIs. There's still quite a bit of variability between API capabilities between most banks, right? So definitely something to keep in mind there. You know, you're looking to take advantage of APIs for reporting, payments, both, and what are the ultimate capabilities that banks are offering there. Even in the U.S. markets, you know, a lot of banks are offering them right now for free from based on what we're hearing. And what does that kind of tell you? You know, banks never offer anything for free. So in a lot of cases, the corporates are the beta testers, it seems like, for these APIs. But that being said, like I mentioned before, the market is pushing everything in this direction very fast. So, you know, it's a good thing. It's accelerating the adoption. And, you know, I think that most banks have sort of also indicated that any new functionality that's going to be rolled out will be rolled out via API as you know, number one priority versus legacy connectivity methods. So it's definitely a forward-looking technology and something that's going to play a huge role. So it'll just be interesting to see sort of how that shapes up during the course of the year. I'm trying to think of, oh, you also asked about AI, which is another big topic. And, you know, like I mentioned, I think based on the survey results, the three areas where the respondents seem to have the most, you know, interest in using AI was definitely around cash forecasting, fraud detection, fraud prevention, and cash applications, you know, automating cash applications through some sort of machine learning mechanism and things like that too. So it's another one of those where it'll be interesting to see what kind of use cases shape up I think there definitely are really concrete use cases, particularly in the fraud prevention space currently, also in the cash forecasting space. But, you know, as we discussed a couple of times here, the data itself is so abnormal over the last 2 years. There's been so much volatility in receivables and payments activity as a result of the pandemic and supply chain that can you rely on that data to run machine learning on top of? I don't know. That's probably a good question. And then also, are organizations really in a good place to take advantage of this technology because they rely on data, right? This is probably another reason why you're seeing enterprise organizations strategize so much about data adoption, having clean data lakes, right? Because if you're going to run pattern recognition or machine learning, you need a complete data set to do it with. So it's not so much, do I want to? It's, am I ready to take advantage of these types of technology? So another interesting one, and I'll definitely, you know, as the year finishes up here and, you know, the sort of the treasury awards are handed out, I'd be interested to see kind of the nice use cases that corporates put in place for AI and machine learning. It'll be exciting to see.
Yeah, it's interesting. In the discussions I've had recently, I keep hearing APIs. And I had one technology person describe them as the solution before the solution. Because, you know, you're using it to access the actual improvement in technology around treasury, as opposed to that being a core technology. But that's the point. So it seems that APIs will be the route to establishing that instant access and the ability to combine best-in-class solutions across the organization.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there, too. That's where I think the most immediate opportunity for APIs is not necessarily with the banks, but how you're kind of sharing that data between multiple different applications within your own organization. So, yeah, even if you're pulling in bank data via file-based, you know, protocols or whatever, you can still leverage APIs to make sure that data stays in sync across cash flow forecasting tools, you know, account reconciliation tools, whatever else you might be sort of leveraging from a technology standpoint. So yeah, I think that's a great point.
Yeah, John, I definitely got to say that I really liked your line there of not necessarily that if it's an organization wants to, but if they're ready to implement these. I think that's a very accurate way to depict it. But with that being said, John, Steve, thank you so much for taking the time today for speaking to me about treasury and payment technology trends here in 2022. And just as a reminder to our audience, if you want to be able to access the white paper that we're unpacking here today with the survey findings, we're going to have a form in the article below on paymentsjournal.com. So again, Steve, John, thank you so much for your time today and hope to have you both back on the podcast real soon.
Okay.
Thank you.